When I was asked to speak again at the Tampa Bay Homeschool Commission, I was asked to do a day in the life, what we do with Naomi. My daughter actually has Down syndrome, and I have four kids total. Two are diagnosed with ADHD, and of course, the Down syndrome. And we also have a child that has OCD, also sensory processing disorder. It just kind of all comes together in a package, anxiety disorder. And so there was a need within the community to really talk about what it's like to be raising a child. And so my name is Leilani Melendez. I am a former public and private school teacher. I resigned. I'll talk about that in a second. And I decided to homeschool about 10 plus years ago. And you're going to see a lot of, I'll share with you at the end what I kind of do. A lot of you may have seen me on YouTube. I'm assuming some of you have, maybe not. If not, I'm on YouTube all over the place. So, all right. I truly believe, as I was writing this, that everyone has a story and everybody has a journey that's so unique to them that brought them to the place that they are at with their homeschooling. And I do too. So before I get into the practicality of what our day actually looks like, I wanted to talk a little bit about our journey and how we got there. This for you is a time for you to reflect on your life and what you're doing at home, what you're about to do at home. How many of you are first-year homeschoolers? Okay, have you, I should have rephrased that, like how many are about to embark on homeschooling? Okay.
I think I'm on the embarkation
Embark.
route. So
Awesome. That's
it's
awesome.
also first time to save a mom quitting my job and entering that because that was a
So, were
call.
you a teacher by any chance?
No,
Okay.
corporate.
Corporate, yeah.
Yeah. For the last
So,
12 years and now have, six, four, and almost two at home
wow.
and
Wow.
homeschooling.
Yes, I was there.
God's plan.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm gonna, that's throughout my slides. You'll see. So, okay, so I do want this to be a time of reflection. Most importantly, I want it to encourage all of you on this journey that you're on or about to embark. And I hope that I can give you some ideas, but mostly encouragement and ideas, I think. Well, I used to, I'll just tell you, that's me. There we go. So I was a public school and private school teacher. And so when I decided that I wanted to homeschool, it was actually first my husband's idea and his side of the family with my mother-in-law. They were all homeschooling on his brothers and sisters. And we talked about it. They encouraged me. I never really delve in. We were believers at the time. And of course, there's that idea of, public school secular thinking. My whole goal was to have my kids in the public school system while I continued teaching because I really, really liked it. But there was one day in particular that I remember where I was about 2 months pregnant with this guy right here. And I was wandering down the hallway and I saw one of my friend's sons wandering the halls. And he has autism. And I knew for a fact that he was not supposed to be outside of his special needs classroom unless he had an escort or unless it was a serious emergency. So, of course, I went up to him and I inquired what's going on, et cetera, et cetera. Come to find out that they had a substitute teacher in the classroom and that she just let him go. And yeah, so I, of course, because it's my responsibility too, took him to his mom, who actually was a teacher at the school. And that was that. He was safe, everybody was happy. But is it gonna work? Yes. There were a couple of things that went through my mind during that day. Of course, danger. That was really dangerous for him to be outside of the classroom. And this was not the first time I knew that that special needs teacher was out. I mean, we know that a teacher high, low retention rate right now, and high turnover rate. So that concerned me. Also, where was the assistant and where were the classroom plans? Like, what do nobody's communicating to the substitute teacher, so I was really concerned. And then, of course, I put the song Influence. I didn't mention the song that he was singing down the hallway very loudly, mind you. I was surprised nobody else came in the classrooms to find him. It was very inappropriate. And I thought about the influence that it was having on him. And that concerned me, especially as I was carrying this guy right here. I wanted him to not be in that environment. And even though this was actually the reason why I decided to homeschool, eventually it turned into, I want to do it biblically. That's what I wanted to do. But God used this to help me bring me out of the public school system. So, of course, I resigned. And fast forward now to my youngest daughter. So she is now 7 and she has Down syndrome and she's adorable and I love her so much. And we were going to homeschool. That was already a given at that point because we were dead set. But I will say that as I went through this slideshow presentation when I was making it, I realized that this was a very dark, dark place in my life. And they look happy. My husband looks great. I don't know if you can tell I look miserable. It was very hard. She had to have open heart surgery when she was about 7 months. And we ended up, the doctors, to make a long story short, there was some issues and we were in the hospital for a whole month and I had to watch out for her and there was just so much, a lot of medical stuff in the beginning and it was scary. So at this time, I was still homeschooling, mind you, these guys right here, I went into survival mode and all of my thoughts were focused in on Naomi. I had felt, and not many people talk about this, but I'm just going to talk about this. I felt by having a child with a disability that my physical body had failed my entire family. I felt like it was my body's fault. I didn't think that it was God's perfect will, you know, or his will for me. I thought it was my fault. I felt like I was ashamed in front of my husband and it was stress on our marriage. My mother-in-law, God bless her, she's amazing, but she came into my household and completely took over, which in a result made me feel less of a woman, less of a mother, and less of a wife. And those are a lot of hard things that us moms kind of go through that we don't usually talk about. And that's why I thought I would bring that up, because you're not alone in all of this. So I was so determined to teach these little guys. So determined to teach these little guys as much as I possibly could. And at this point, I realized that I was doing it because I wanted them to know God. But I really didn't know anything about teaching, because I knew I was going to teach her. I didn't know anything about teaching a child with special needs or Down syndrome. I didn't even know where to begin. I mean, in the school system, I worked with a lot of kids. I worked with autism. They were always in my classroom. But I never had a kid with Down syndrome. And so I just trusted the Lord. He was going to lead me through this. And it was a lot of ups and downs. So I determined to keep on going. I had no idea how to do this. All right. So the first thing that kind of happened, I know this is all Disney fun pictures, because the first thing that happened to us or to me was that I needed to find a way to get an escape. And for me, that was Disney World. I am a Florida second generation Tampa person. I was born here. My dad was born here. We lived at Disney World when I was a kid. And this was my safe place. And so I decided that we were going to get season passes for an entire year to Disney. Does anybody do that? Despite all the, you know, whatever's going on. But like that 1 year of Disney, we literally went once a week to Disney World. And at that time, I utilized every single educational thing I could possibly get my hands on. And if that meant that we would go to Epcot Center and go interview people in the different countries like Mexico or England, there was even one time we went to Tom Sawyer's Island and we were actually doing a unit study on Tom Sawyer. And we finished the book in Tom Sawyer's Island and we had lunch and picnicked. And there was even a time we were sitting on the ground. The costume characters were like, what are you doing sitting on the floor at Disney reading a book? I mean, we just did it all. And we had a blast. And it just brought, I feel like at that point, I had nobody to answer to, like all that burden, all that pressure, especially from coming from a public school system, right, where I'm used to these certain rules and certain benchmarks and everything is a certain way. All of that was lifted up because, of course, everybody's talking about this thing, deschooling, right? We enjoyed our time together. Deschooling. Have you guys heard of that yet? Okay. I'm seeing heads nod like a lot. And then some of you are staring at me. So by definition, I'm just going to say it's the transition process that children and parents go through when they leave the school system in order to start homeschooling. It involves gradually transitioning away from their school day routine and instructional mentality, redeveloping the ability to learn via self-determination. There's a lot to that. And my personal philosophy is deschooling literally lasts the rest of your life. And I think for like teachers that were previous teachers, we have to deschool a lot more. But we went through the school system too as kids, so we have to de-school all of that, and it goes on for the rest of your life. And I also like to say, let's see, I believe it's us actually getting rid of how we think we should homeschool and actually allowing God to show us how to homeschool and educate our kids. And I don't even like that word school in there because it's just more of a lifestyle and it's lifelong de-schooling and, pulling away from that. So this happened to me. Fast forward to today. One of my major, major goals, and I'm not perfect, but this is just one of my personal goals, is that I like to have one-on-one time with each of my kids an hour a day. That's my goal. And then I also want to have time with my family. And I know I say an hour a day, and I'm like, some of you are like, ugh. But I do like one-on-one time, whether it's doing school, whether it's having a conversation, whether it's in the car driving. That happens a lot. But that is my goal, just getting to know my kids when they force me to play video games, which I already promised my oldest son that I will play with him this weekend. That's one of my goals. And as a result, I like to be around them. That's what happens. And for me, just like she, I don't know if you guys were in the talk this morning. Were you in the talk when Kim mentioned that it's all relational with our kiddos? So, yeah. I feel like this verse just kind of sums up, and if you walked in late, this just sums up my journey up to where we are now. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kind, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Feel like that. I'm still going on it. We're still persevering through all of it. So, not every day and not everything is perfect. And we, as parents of children that have unique abilities, we've got some hard days. So, oh, I went too early. 4th of July just happened, right? My youngest daughter with Down syndrome. Well, this year she was good. I will admit, it's funny because I wrote this before 4th of July expecting this to happen, but it totally, she surprised me. It didn't happen this year. But it has happened in the past where she hates fireworks and she hates 4th of July and she's covering her ears and she's crying and she doesn't want to go outside. And here I am, mom, wanting to spend time with my friends watching fire. Our neighborhood goes crazy with the fireworks, okay? So I have four options as a parent when I come into these situations. So these situations happen a lot. I can get angry, I can get mad, I can get frustrated, I can throw a pity party for myself. I don't know about you, I'm really good at those, right? And I'm really good at getting my kids on board with my pity parties. It's not working as much now when they get older, but. And, or actually, I could say building the relationship with them and thinking about what can I do that will make us connect and enjoy this holiday so she has some really good memories. And that's what I was showing you, the dance party. One of the things she loves to do is dance and getting other people involved with dancing. Always trying to find those little solutions out there, the things that you know that comfort them, that help them calm down, that bring them joy when they're in those hard, stressful situations. Bring those joyful things to them because that's going to help calm them down. So, I also, there are situations that she has to do that she doesn't like. Doctor appointments, okay? My daughter has to get blood work every 6 months. Dentist, she has to go to the dentist. I mean, even education, right? I know you guys, I see your faces. The dentist, I have my husband do it now, I'll just be honest. cleaning the house, also going to therapies. Physical therapy is hard sometimes, very, very hard. So some of these things we have to do. Okay, and there are situations that she doesn't necessarily need to do, but it's really good for her social skills, her self-control, learning experience, and this includes sharing with her siblings, eating habits like sitting at the table and actually finishing your food without running around. Yep, I know. Sleeping habits, the keeping them in bed at night. And going places. And I am the type of person that I do not like to stay at home. I like to get out and go, as you have found out. But I hear so many stories of, because I do homeschool evaluations too, and I've heard so many stories where parents that have unique learners or just disabilities, they will not leave their house. And I'm going to talk a little bit more into that. Yeah, so there was one instance I was going to share with you. Okay, well, let me go through this first. What do I prepare for when I go out, right? So the first one is public meltdowns, because those happen like all the time. And refusal to leave or go. I don't know about you. There has been situations where my daughter, we're crossing the road, and she will plop right in the middle of the street and not move. And that has happened. We went to the YMCA once. I had to get down, and of course, everybody's watching you, right? You're sitting there, everybody's watching you, and you don't want to come across as being mean, but at the same time, you don't want to be coming across as too laxed, and you have to scoop them up, or you have to talk them in, because some of these kids get too old where you can't. So you have to sit down, get on your knees, and we had to, in this instance, it was at the YMCA that I remember I had my kiddos were stopping traffic. And I had to get down on my knees and keep reminding her what we were going to be doing next and how much fun she was going to have. Finally got her up back into the car. But we had to prepare for these things. We have to have several pockets full of ideas. I hate this, but I have done this where you have like gummies. Hey, I have gummies in the car. And don't shame yourself for doing that, because we've all done it. We don't want to do it. There's other options, but sometimes that's like we do it and it's okay. Sometimes we will be late. We will be late. And so I have a kid that is ADHD, OCD, anxiety, and you will not be late anywhere at all. So he doesn't like to be late. But then I have Naomi, on the other hand, that takes like forever to put her shoes on, and she's playing games. And so I've got this balance of one kid rushing to get out of here, another kid like, nope, I'm cool. And there is that. I'm not, need I say more? All right. But it gets really, really hard. And of course, staying with her to help her adjust. So this is me getting her out of the house. what we need to do as parents, well, actually, let me tell you this story really quick, VBS. One of the things that I really want for my kids is I want to see them involved in church activities, because I mean, homeschool co-ops are really important. I'm going to talk about that later, you guys, if you're interested in how to integrate them. I have some really good resources, but getting them involved with different social groups, whether or not they have unique abilities or not, so important for them, especially with the older kids. They'll start to mimic them and learn from them and model them. So, and this one particular VBS, and all churches are different, I could not leave her at all for this week. In fact, I did, because I had a flat tire for an hour, and it was complete pandemonium because she decided to climb on top of the playground equipment. And that was fun. So sometimes you have to stay with them. And in this case, I had to suck it up and stay with her, because I knew the end result would be better. But yes, that's partially taking away from my time. But it is also an opportunity for me to be an advocate. We are actually on stage, and I'm sure you guys feel that way when all eyes are staring at you in public, but people are not just judging us, and we feel the judgment all the time. I don't know about you, but like, you see those darting eyes. There was one time where I was at the congregation and there was a dance going on, and my daughter wanted to be involved with the dance, and I had to pull her aside, and I had this lady like look at me and roll her eyes and look at me and roll her eyes. And I was like, I literally did what I needed to do with my daughter, and I literally went in the back room and cried, like bawled, because... But I knew that I was on stage and people are watching us. They're watching us, how we interact with them. And a lot of it is just out of curiosity, because they want to know how to interact with unique learners too. It's this desire that they have. They're constantly learning from us because we're their parents. You know, who better person to learn from, right? So something to keep in mind, community. And I did talk a lot about how important community is a while ago. In our community, as a homeschool family, there are co-ops. Well, let me show you what we do. Okay, this is our community therapies. She does. We've actually cut it down. She used to do two physical therapies. Now she only does one. She does a half an hour of swim therapy, half an hour of on land therapy. And then she does three speech therapies a week, and then one OT. therapy. She does dance classes, and that's her therapies. Then we do homeschool co-ops. I mean, we're not doing any right now, because it's the summer. But I'm also, I like to go to the YMCA, and I like to have her do some of the YMCA. They have like the stay and play with the kids. And that's always interesting because there's a lot of like 15-year-olds in there watching the kids. And so I'm always like trying to coach them on how to work with her and stuff. So we do that. We have classes at our congregation where she goes to, and counseling. Okay, so I'm a big fan of finding a biblical counselor for some of our older kids that are going through a lot of things. So for ADHD, finding somebody that can work one-on-one with the child that has ADHD in a safe place is so good for them. Because as you'll find out if you stay for my next talk, I don't know what it's like to be a middle school boy, but I do know how the brain works. And that's actually my next talk about the middle school brain. But counselors are great. In fact, they'll even take you back in there and have a little counseling session. It's great. So yeah, so these are some of the places. This is her in physical therapy. This is her at the Y, and this is her at our congregation. They also, what's neat about having other adults working with her is that they can see her, see the blind spots that you don't see. So one of the things I never thought was a big deal is opening a bag of chips. I mean, my children don't eat chips, but it's useful. It builds those fine motor skills. Also, I didn't realize how important tricycles were until I started doing therapy. So they're finding those blind spots. And of course, co-ops are great with social skills. Finding a mentor is great, especially like with the boys that have, because I'm a girl, or if it's, you know, a father with a daughter and finding a female mentor, having someone outside the family that can kind of coach them with how they're feeling and their emotions. A lot of ADHD, we have impulse control. And they just, middle schoolers in general do, but ADHD, impulse control is a big thing. Self-control is a big thing. And it's good to have some of those mentors. I know a child that had autism, he was actually what they would call Asperger's back in the day. But I don't know what it is. It's like level, I don't know which level it is right now for Asperger's. But he had a mentor that has Asperger's and is an adult. And so sometimes it's really good to find those in the co-ops. So at home, okay, one of the things when I quit the public school system, I was like, yay, I don't have to do routines anymore because there's no bell. And that was my big, yeah, I know, right? I know, and that's what I learned. Because my husband was like, you have to do a routine or we're going to go crazy. And of course, I threw it out the window when I first started homeschooling because I was so against it. I was over the bells in the classroom, and that didn't last long because I was not getting anything done and not going anywhere because no routine. So routine is huge, especially with some of our unique learners, especially for AD. I mean, all of them, I think across the board need routine. Even everything from my son that has ADHD to my daughter with Down syndrome. And I literally have like these things all over the place in my house. Behind doors, we have a sticker chart in the bathroom still, and she's 7 years old. And I have to keep doing routines. And when she's actually gotten to the place where she'll do the routines without us asking, which is really nice. And if we miss a step in the routine, then we have to go back and do it or start over. She has a routine for going into the YMCA, right? That's a whole, that also happens, right? With the YMCA, she'll come in and they don't, if she turns around, if they don't put the sticker on her back, we have to start over. So it's a whole thing. But so routines, they thrive off of routines and sticker charts. And we have a confetti box. And I love the idea of a confetti box because they get to choose what they want out of the box, which gives them some independence and ownership, right? So not just giving them, oh, you get a lollipop. No, here's like a box with chocolate, lollipops, toys, games, fidgets, sticker books. You get to pick. She always picks candy. And so on top of that, with my other kids, now this is just for our summer, and there are so many things out there. I like to keep it simple. But there are so many programs out there that they're going to give you how to build a daily routine. This is our summer routine. I want it incredibly simple. Now, Naomi has her own schedule, but I have made it a point that at 1 o'clock when my husband does Bible study with the kids, I am working with Naomi from 1 to 3 because all her therapies in the morning are in the morning. And see, we're kind of fortunate because And this is something so important, is getting to work. That's the great thing about doing therapies, by the way. As a homeschooler, you can have them during the day when everybody else is in school. And you can work with your schedule to have the therapies back to back and most convenient for you. And I'm fortunate because my husband only works 3 days a week. He's a paramedic. And so he's home for 2-3 of the days. And then my mother-in-law actually comes over one day and takes Naomi to all her therapies. So we're able to have her in therapies in the morning while my other kids work on stuff. And I've had to actually separate all of their stuff out so I know what they're doing. And anything that's in red is either they're doing it together or they need to use an iPad. And of course, some of them, well, these two, because now she's in a book. But for piano, they use Simply Piano, and guitar, he'll sometimes use the guitar tuner. But that way, I know they don't overlap. So color coding, I mean, you have to figure out what works best for your family, but try to keep it simple, because if you make it too complicated, your brain's going to explode, and it's just not going to be fun. And work with your, if you have to do therapies, work with your therapist on these things to try and get the best schedule for you. And they'll switch. The best time to get your schedule changed, by the way, with therapists is right now, because they're getting ready for the new school year. So, all right, character building. And this is an in the moment training with, yeah, of course we do our Bible studies, and the Bible studies are like in the word, but like during the day, we're bringing the word back out and reminding them, hey, we talked about this. They do devotionals. Oops, I don't have any pictures for character building, but I will say it's a lot of in the job training with each other and bringing in, you know, hey, didn't remember we talked about this, and bringing examples. And, you know, a lot of it is also putting yourself in their shoes and helping them socialize and correct things. And a lot of talking when they get older, by the way, a lot of talking, huh? A lot. Yeah. All right. And so the next one is curriculum. And I always put this one last because as a homeschool family, curriculum's really important, but it's not the end all be all. It's there as a tool, just like everything else. But this is my little tip that there's so much curriculum out there. It has gotten worse since COVID. And I've been homeschooling for over 10 years. It has gotten worse since COVID because everybody started homeschooling, and then everyone's like, oh, I can have a part of this now, especially in Florida, because if they jump on board offering services, you know, they know that you have the scholarship and you could just dump the money right in, and then it builds their business. It's a business. And it's really scary because everybody says that their curriculum is the best curriculum out there, right? I don't know if that's how you feel sometimes, because it's super overwhelming. And I know. So what I have as part of my philosophy is if you can somehow connect with the author and then you find that you're like, they get me, I get them, that's a good curriculum to try. And that happened actually to me recently, because I went and spoke at the North Carolina Special Needs Homeschool Convention, and I connected with an author there, and I'm like, that's it. Like, her name's Dr. Carol Brown. And she does Equipping Minds. It's a really good one. Equipping Minds, Dr. Carol Brown. It's neuroplasticity, and it's brain remapping. Yeah, and it's all the way from preschool all the way up. And she says she takes some of her games and brings it into like old folks' homes. Yeah, she does it. Dr. Carol Brown.
Simple Minds?
Equipping Minds. Yeah, it's great for, it's neuroplasticity, it's brain remapping. And so she built the program, and then her first test subject was named Rose. So the program is called Roses. And you've got everybody on the spectrum doing it, ADHD, neurodivergent, that's all of it, and then, you know, Down syndrome. So, all right, I personally, I'll just let you know, besides therapies, I'll work with Naomi for like 2 hours a day. And that's, we do everything. So, I'm just gonna be honest, right? So when I wrote this talk, I gave it to AI to give me a title. And that's why the title looks the way it does. But, and it gave me unveiling strength. And then I kept reading it. And I was like, this is not my strength. So it's actually the Lord's strength. It's by him, or actually it's his strength that's being unveiled in my family. And I think all of you leaning on him, that can be a part of your life too. And to remember, it's his strength, not our strength. Which goes, you know, AI doesn't know the Lord. So I'm probably, if I promote this talk again, right, if I promote this talk again, I'm going to change the title. But so this verse, come to me who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and lean from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so that is the strength that I lean on, and that is the strength that is unveiled. So just a little bit, I went pretty fast because I knew, I felt like this group needed some Q&A time. So I can quickly share with you where you can find me. So this is my YouTube channel, and it's my baby. I've been doing it for like 6 years, and it's called Living with Eve. And I have 24,000 subscribers now. I do one video a week. I try to do two reels. I do lives. I was on live this morning. So I'm always on there talking, sharing. I do curriculum reviews. I interviewed Brenda. She's right there. I love Brenda. I think she's wearing the same outfit. Look at that. Okay, sorry. I noticed things like that. And so then I'll do, you know, special needs stuff. I do curriculum reviews. I mean, you name it, I do it. I interview people, you know, all the things. This group is really cool. So this is Peggy Plower. She's huge in the special needs community. And she is actually, I used to be a guest on her podcast a lot. And then all of a sudden she's like, come, I want you to co-host with me because I need to go and speak all across the world. She's in England right now at the Homeschool Global Convention. And so I actually had to record a podcast for her this week. And so this is a huge, huge resource. And she just started this Homeschool Heroes online community. And you can join. I think there might be some free membership, but it's basically a Facebook page that's privatized. You can even just go on her podcast. And the little packet that I passed out should have a business card on there and then another card on there. That other card on there is going to take you to my website with the QR code. So this is a great resource. And then this is my stuff. This is my book. And these are my curriculum pieces that I actually wrote for Naomi. It's based off of a method. There's a book called Teaching Children How to Read with Down Syndrome. The only problem I had with that method is that it was very secular. And so I started making some for Naomi that were godly. And you're welcome to find out more information about it. It's on the QR code in the packet. And then this is my book. It's not special needs unique or specific, I should say. It's not special needs specific. It is, I guess, more like an encouragement book for homeschoolers, some that are new, some that are further along in their journey, if they just need a little pick-me-up. Give some insight. I got everything in there from college to scholarships to lots of stories, a lot of success stories in there of children that didn't look like they were going to do well in life, but they did do well in life. And I talk about, of course, special needs, unique learners. So, and then this is just me here. So I'm a homeschool evaluator, I'm a tester, I'm a consultant, I'm a choice navigator. And I also teach at Class Source. I don't know if you saw them out there. That's one of the homeschool co-ops that's local here. So I teach science and I'm also doing speech, public speaking, yeah, for high schoolers. And then I'm doing the sciences for all the early elementary and middle school. Oh, I'm doing one high school class. So I do that at Class Source. And then that's just my information where you can kind of find me. So I did, like I said, I rushed through it. So I have about 10 minutes left for Q&A if anybody has any questions for me.